Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Matthew chapter 5 verse 1 following. And seeing the multitude, he went up on a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Hallelujah. So we want to look at the third definition of blessedness in the kingdom arrangement that Jesus Christ brought. He redefined blessings or blessedness, and we want to look at the third part of it. Hallelujah. First of all, we have said that there is a way of life or a culture that people who are in the kingdom of God should have. So when you become a believer, you are supposed to have a certain lifestyle, a certain way of life. And Jesus Christ, practical as he is, taught us in the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapter 5 to chapter 7, very practical ways that we should live as people belonging to his kingdom. Okay? We know that he was talking about the kingdom of God because the first thing that he said in teaching on the Sermon on the Mount was, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus Christ gives us an idea that what he's talking about is concerning kingdom life, how to live as people belonging to the kingdom of God. So the first thing we are taught by Jesus is for us to have a parasitic dependence upon God. That is what he meant by being poor in spirit. That means that you don't rely upon yourself. You know, you look up to God all the time. Poor in spirit. He didn't say poor in mind. Neither did he say poor in body. We have to be rich in our bodies. Take care of it. Rich bodies. We have to be rich mentally. You know, not rusty, but very rich and sharp. But when it comes to our spirit, we have to be poor. In other words, we must have a hopeless dependence upon God. That is a way of life of people in the kingdom of God. They shouldn't go to a point where they think that they are so powerful, so anointed, so good that they can do without the person of God. Hallelujah. They shouldn't come to the point where they feel that, well, they know so much of the word of God that they don't need the person of God. You know, so that is the first way of living, that your life must be completely tilted because you are a parasite. Without him, you are nothing. You live on him. You move in him. You have your being in him. That's the first lifestyle. The second lifestyle is about having a right response to sin. You must have a right response to sin. Alright? That is what Jesus Christ meant by saying, Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Alright? Mourning is responding to sin over there. So, after having a parasitic dependent lifestyle, you must have, number two, the right response to sin is very key. is very important, because sin is what interrupted the kingdom arrangement of God when he replicated kingdom life on this earth and put mankind in the Garden of Eden. What disrupted God's arrangement was sin. So Jesus Christ came to take away the distraction so that there will be nothing in our way, so that the kingdom of God can come on this earth as originally intended. Hallelujah. So your approach to sin, the way you look at sin as a believer, you know, is very important. You have to look at it in the light of what Jesus is, in the light of what Jesus taught, in the light of what Jesus did. Wow. It's very important to God that you have a right response to sin. It's a right response to his son, Jesus Christ. Dependent upon God, blessed are the poor in spirit. Right response to sin, right relationship to what Jesus Christ is, what he taught, and what he did for us. That should be the second lifestyle of people in the kingdom of God. Now, the third lifestyle which we are going to talk about today is in what Jesus Christ said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And please underline, inherit the earth. You know, now Jesus Christ is trying to tell us something, that if you have a right relationship with God, parasitic one, you know, and if you have a right response to Jesus and his work, in other words, a right response to sin, now you are ready, or you should be getting ready to inherit the earth. Because the earth is actually God's physical kingdom. God's physical kingdom is not the church. God's physical kingdom is the earth. Hallelujah. He wants the church to, as it were, open the door. He has the keys. Open the door for what is in heaven to be replicated on this earth, according to Matthew 16:16-19. Okay, so God has an intention for the earth, and he wants us now to be able to inherit it, to be able to get it. God wants us to be in charge of the earth. He wants us to be in control of the earth as before. And he tells us how to bring it about. Says that it is by being meek. We will come to that shortly. But I want you to underline inherit the earth. And let's explore it a little bit. Because inheriting something is the opposite of the world's arrangement or the religious arrangement that came about when man ate the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Man felt that he had to merit whatever thing God wants to give to him. Man felt like that, and it's unfortunate that man felt like that, but that is how religion is like. You remember in the very beginning, God did everything, he finished everything before he created man. So man didn't have any work to do except just to admire God's creation and then think about the awesome love God must have for mankind. So man was created on a sixth day, as you know, and on the seventh day God rested. So man was introduced to rest right after his creation. And that is why in the Bible, you know, in fact, according to the Jewish calendar, we have the evening and then the morning. The evening and then the morning. We will say the morning and the evening, but the evening and the morning means that God puts priority on the evening. Evening is generally a period of rest, you know. Evening, night, period of rest. But morning is generally a period of work and not sleep or rest. So when God puts evening before the morning, he's trying to tell us that the way that we must live on this earth is to rest before we get into anything. Hallelujah. The evening and the morning was the first day. The evening and the morning was the second day. Up to now, the Jewish people, they reckon the beginning of their day from the evening, 6 p.m. rather. Hallelujah. I remember when I was in the Holy Land, by 6 p.m., the practicing Jews, you know, they are nowhere to be found. You know, by 6 p.m., the Sabbath has begun. That's 6 p.m. on Friday, what we call Friday, their Sabbath has started. Because just like God, they recognize the beginning of their day as a time of rest. And that is the kingdom arrangement that Jesus Christ actually was teaching when he said that if you are meek, to be meek just means to be mild. To be mild is the opposite of hustling. Is the opposite of struggling. Is the opposite of working out things on your own. So God is teaching us a certain principle as people in the kingdom of God, that we should put priority on being meek, being mild, not struggling, not doing our own thing, you know, but humble enough to follow the pattern of God, humble enough in our lives. Hallelujah. And he said that the meek are going to inherit the earth. Inherit is the opposite, I was saying, of merit. You see that in the word inherit, there is a resemblance to the word merit. Because the world wants to merit everything, but God says that the way that I want you people to live is by inheritance. Inheritance is where somebody does all the work and then you acquire all that the benefits just by a relationship to the person. So my father can work and work and work and work. He has labor, he has traveled to heap up, to heap up, to heap up. And then I come at the time that every work has been done, everything that needs to be done has been done, and I enjoy it by virtue of the fact that I am his son. So inheritance is by relationship. Once you have a relationship with the person who traveled, who labored, who worked hard, then you can enjoy the benefit of the working hard and all that without you yourself doing anything. You are just there like a baby bed. You open your mouth and you close your eyes and mommy will come and put food into your mouth. Isn't that a wild life? I think it's a wonderful life. But you see, the human being doesn't like that. The human nature, the fallen human nature, feels that I must do something to help myself. I must do something, you know. And in our bid to try to do something, we go overboard, you know, to overlook what has been done already and try to do our own thing as the basis for our taking control over the earth, our being blessed on the earth. Actually, inheriting the earth is talking about getting all the blessings on earth. It's talking about being an heir of the world. It's talking about having all the prosperity, all of the riches. Ladies and gentlemen, the whole world and the fullness thereof belongs to God. He worked hard. He worked hard. For 6 days he was working. It was only the seventh day that he rested. He put in a whole lot of things. Jesus Christ came upon the scene and he worked hard. He fought and he conquered. So that what? So that those of us who believe in him and believe in what he has done will be more than conquerors. We will not have to fight, but we will be more than conquerors because we enjoy the booty of the conqueror. Hallelujah. And that is the kind of mind. You see, to live the kingdom life or to live the culture of the kingdom of God, you must have a certain mentality of the kingdom. You must have a certain shift in your thinking. Hallelujah. Away from what you can do to what has been done. Done by who? The Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll show you that we must be so consumed with it that our own efforts mean nothing at all. We must be so filled with the works of Jesus, so filled with what God has made us and done for us already, that we will not strive on our own. Hallelujah. Because I told you, in striving on our own, we tend to downplay what God has done. Because two people, one person has labored, you also want to labor, and you feel like comparing your labor, and you downplay on his labor just so that you will heighten your labor, and that is not good enough.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Hallelujah. It is important for us that we will lay down, and that is how a meek person is. To a meek person, his effort means nothing. A meek person will hardly tell you about what he put in. He will hardly tell you about what he did. Hallelujah. He will tell you about the fact that it is God who has done it. Hallelujah. If you are full of, this is what I did, these are the steps, this is what you have to do, I tell you what, you are moving away from the kingdom arrangement and you are moving away from meekness. Jesus Christ himself was like that, and I'll show you as we get along. So ladies and gentlemen, who doesn't want the blessings on the earth? Who doesn't want that? The Bible itself says that your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. That is why he put them there. He didn't put them there so that we will look at it and then we will say, oh, these things that God created them, what? Silver, gold, cast, and like all these things, they came out of what God has done. Is that right? I mean, all these kind of things, they are all not necessary. You are lying and you are denying something that God did. You see, God wants that we will enjoy what he did. Because it is for us that he did those things. And the only thing is that he wants us to get it by inheriting, by focusing on what Jesus Christ has done, or what God has done already, and are enjoying it just because we have a relationship with him. The opposite is to merit something, to merit something. And that place, or meritocracy, trying to deserve something, has no place in the kingdom arrangement of God. In actual fact, God becomes hard, or I should say, God will be hard in the end at people who didn't get things by inheritance. It's going to be hard on them. You know, it's going to be very, very tough on them. Because these people would have set aside Jesus, set aside what Jesus Christ did for us. Hallelujah. And those are the people whose works are going to be consumed by fire. Bible says that be careful how you build. How? It's talking about the way, the manner you do your things on this earth. Hallelujah. Be careful how, because the fire is going to try everybody's work. Let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Very quickly. Hebrews chapter 12 and then verse 28. Hebrews 12:28. and 29. Says that therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom, that is what is happening to us. Ultimately, what God wants for this earth is the kingdom. Hallelujah. I told you that there is a physical kingdom, which is the earth, and there is a spiritual kingdom, which is heaven. The Bible says in the book of Colossians, Paul says that God is going to preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. Hallelujah. He wouldn't have said heavenly kingdom if there were no earthly kingdom or kingdom on this earth. He wouldn't have said that. He should have said simply, God is going to preserve me for his kingdom. But he said for his heavenly kingdom. It means that that heavenly one is just qualifying the kingdom, that there is a heavenly one. And the use of the word heavenly means that there is an earthly one. Hallelujah. He wants his kingdom to come in this place. And he wants his will to be done. That is the ultimate that God has got for you and I. Alright. So he says over here that therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom, that is a process which cannot be shaken, let us have grace, underlying grace, by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Why did he say our God is a consuming fire? He said our God is a consuming fire because, not for unbelievers, sometimes we use it in evangelism. How can God consume them? He so loves them. Jesus Christ called unbelievers his sheep. Because you know what? He carried away all their sins. So he looks at them, he says that you are mine. I bought you. I paid the price for you. But you don't know that you are mine. One day you will come to it. And so he prays this high priestly prayer. And he says that there are some sheep of mine who are not in this fold. In other words, they are not in church. They don't recognize me as the good shepherd yet. Then also I must bring, so that there will be one shepherd and there will be one flock. In other words, they will move from the world and come into the church. So how dare we look down at unbelievers, as if Jesus has not paid a price for them, as if he has not done anything for them, as if they are not his own. Ladies and gentlemen, they are his own. He didn't call them goats. He called them sheep. Hallelujah. You remember the parable of the lost? Who was lost? A sheep was lost. Not a goat was lost. He got a sheep and put the sheep on the shoulder, rejoicing. Hallelujah. So he says that sometimes, I was saying that sometimes we use God is a consuming fire on unbelievers. But no. Look into the Bible and look at the context in which God said that he is a consuming fire. He was talking to believers. Which believers is he talking to? He is talking to believers who do not live their lives by grace. Who do not recognize that somebody did everything and all that they should get on this earth should be by inheritance and should not be by their effort. Their effort should mean nothing unto them. Nothing whatsoever unto them. Hallelujah. So that is why he said, look, because we are receiving a kingdom, that's a progressive thing. As we are, I'm teaching you about the kingdom system, you are receiving it. You are receiving it. You see, you are born again, you are already in the kingdom, but look at how God is describing. He says, you are receiving it. In other words, you are in the kingdom, but the kingdom is also a kind of understanding you must have. It's a kind of arrangement that you must live in. So you are receiving it. Although he said, well, he has translated me from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his yes. He says that, look, you are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Religion is going to be shaken. The wisdom of this world, that is religion. The Bible describes about three types of wisdom. It says that the wisdom of this age, you know, the wisdom of the rulers of this world. And then he talks about the wisdom of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Says that, but the wisdom of this world, is talking about religion, is coming to naught. In other words, as Jesus gets ready to come as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's coming to establish his kingdom on this earth, fully blown kingdom, and rule as a physical, fully blown king, he says that religion and the wisdom to live in our own way is coming to naught. Zero. That is what he says, that we have a kingdom which cannot be shaken. In other words, ours is going to grow and grow and grow and grow. He said that in the end, this gospel of the kingdom, this gospel of the kingdom, he's talking about a particular gospel of the kingdom, shall be preached unto all nations, and then the end shall come. Hallelujah. So he's saying what? He's saying that we are receiving a kingdom, and the kingdom cannot be shaken. Daniel says that it shall not be left to other people. Hallelujah. But it's going to grow bigger and bigger. Although it's a small stone, and fill the whole earth, it shall not be shaken. Let us have what? Grace. Let us have grace. Why should we have grace? He says so that we will serve God with acceptance, or in an acceptable manner. Hallelujah. Because there's a way of serving God which may sound fine to human beings, but God is not pleased with it. And he says that the reason why we must have grace so that we can serve God in an acceptable manner is because he is a consuming fire. He is going to consume people who do not become meek, who do not humble themselves, who do not rely upon grace, undeserved favor, who do not rely upon what Jesus Christ has done for them to have rulership. Inheriting the earth just means that you are in charge of the earth. You are a ruler on this earth. You have kingdom in this world. It says that blessed are the meek, because they are going to have kingdom on earth. They are going to have rulership on this earth. Hallelujah. Because I told you, in the end, God is not going to be happy. You see, you can build all that God wants you to build, but Paul said, be careful how you are doing it, because in the end, everybody's work is going to be tried by fire. That is where our God is a consuming fire is. And if anybody's work endures the fire, fine, he will have a reward. But if his work does not endure the fire, he himself is going to be saved, but he's going to lose all of the things, wasted years, wasted efforts, are trying to serve God. Hallelujah. That is why it is important for us to live the kingdom life, to live with meekness, in order for us to inherit the earth. It's not talking about heaven. Inherit the earth. Physical. Physical. I know that certain people, they don't cherish the physical. Oh yes. Oh, certain people, they don't cherish the earth too. Whereas God cherishes the earth, and Jesus Christ came to claim the earth back, some people don't cherish the earth. Actually, Psalm 2 says that God gave the earth as a resurrection gift to Jesus. Hallelujah. He gave it to. And then Jesus said in the book of Luke chapter 11, chapter 12 or so, that if you serve God so well, spiritually, he is going to reward you with what? Rulership over what? Cities. Rulership. Hallelujah. Spiritual service rewarded with physical. So the earth means something to God. Hallelujah. The devil likes to play on our mind like that. That the earth, you see, because he wants to rule the earth. He doesn't want any competition. He wants us to leave the earth to him. But we will not leave it to him. Because Jesus Christ said, we are going to, I'll show you to that he has made us heirs of the world. Heirs of the world. That's his best gift. One of his best gifts he can ever give. And I told you about the kingdom future. The God's throne is going to be relocated from heaven. And he's going to put his throne on this earth. In the new heavens and the new earth. And he'll be here with us. God will be with them. Hallelujah. These are things that you have to start to orient your understanding about. Because God wants to give you the earth. Don't let the devil usurp the earth. Control our government, control our workplaces, control our society. And we say that, well, we want to go to heaven. What are you going to do in heaven? You want to change your estate. You remember, angels have an estate, humans have an estate, God has an estate. Some angels wanted to change their estate. In other words, the way they were created, they wanted to change it. And God didn't stand for that thing at all. He was annoyed at it. He threw them down. He made us for the earth. And this is the place we glorify Him by living a kingdom life on this earth. Hallelujah.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.